following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone, from Minneapolis, Minnesota, at U.S. Bank Stadium, site of the Green Bay Packers' 23-10 victory over the Minnesota Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium. Knocking a couple things off the list for them, including winning at U.S. Bank Stadium for the first time, clinching the NFC North, first time since 2016, and Tom Silverstein, my partner here, really, I mean, it sets the stage for at least a 2 seed, a bye, and home field, and with some help, maybe the 1 seed overall.
Yeah, the only downside, and it's really not, I guess, is that Matt LaFleur can't rest anybody next week. They got to win the game at Detroit. They got to make sure they don't have a big letdown. I mean, I don't know what would have to happen for them to lose at Detroit. But if they win in Detroit, they're the guaranteed at least the number 2 seed, and they're going to have a bye week, and they're going to have a home game, and they'll be 1 game away from the NFC Championship game. So they've done everything they need to do. We were talking about signature wins. This was their first, I think we can put that in this category. You're always going to be able to say, well, Vikings didn't have Dalvin Cook and they didn't have their backup running back. And that's legit. Some of the players said that as well. But they still had to come into this environment and they dominated defensively, absolutely dominated. And that to me, that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, and I wanted to start there because, of course, I'm sure you all listen to our weekly podcast. And that was a thought you had. You had wondered if the defense could get hot and potentially carry this team or sort of be the driving force of this team, because we kind of felt the offense was what it was at this point. And, I mean, look, they turned the ball over 3 times in the first half, Tom, but, you know, the Vikings couldn't do anything with that. They scored 10 points. You know, a trick play was open, but it didn't work. Excellent coverage by Tremon Williams on Adam Thielen on a 4th down play. And then after that, after living in Packers territory for a half, they ran 2 plays on the Packers side of the field the entire second half.
Yeah.
I mean, so was this kind of what, did you expect this? Is this kind of maybe what you thought you were talking about, I guess, when you mentioned this defense maybe being the part of this team that can get hot?
So this is what it looks like. I'll say that. This is what it looks like when you've got a defense that is playing well above the competition, and especially you're dominating an offensive line. They absolutely dominated Minnesota's offensive line. And Minnesota, even if Dalvin Cook had played, the one thing that would have been different for him is that I just think that they destroyed the offensive line. I'm not sure that there were all that many running holes for Dalvin Cook. He would have bounced some things and made them play it a little different. But, you know, when you just whip people, Za'Darius Smith was, I think he might have whipped every single guy on the offensive line at least once. He was just going up and down the line and getting matchups and just causing havoc. And every time they needed a run stop or a sack or whatever, he provided it. And the rest of the guys played well. It wasn't just him. And they won the matchup between defensive line and offensive line.
Yeah, Kenny Clark with another sack. Mr. December continues his sort of statistical anomaly in that way. You know, some attention paid to the corners this week. I mean, Jair Alexander, when they played man, shadowed Stephon Diggs. And look, Diggs got him for a touchdown. But that was it. Adam Thielen didn't catch a ball. Kevin King with his 5th interception of the year, a big turnover and a big return to help the Packers, you know, kind of stem the tide. You're right. I thought the run game, you know, B.J. Goodson, Blake Martinez, those safeties, you're right. You didn't see the big holes and the big gaps mm-hmm. that even we saw a little bit against the Bears, yeah. to be honest.
And Kirk Cousins, I mean, you prefer, if you're the Vikings, you prefer to have him rolling out and play action and not on third down, dropping straight back. He's not as good doing that. He's very good off play action and bootlegs and rolling out. But they had him in the pocket all night long. And, you know, he didn't have much time. He had to get rid of the ball quickly. And when he didn't, he wasn't very accurate. And I just think this is, you know, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to show at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he mentions Za'Darius Smith's day. 3.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm. Total, yeah.
I mean, total, it was about as dominating an individual performance as we've seen this year.
Yeah, I would say
so. And they've
been
good all year.
Yes. Smiths. Yeah, it was impressive. And, you know, but like I said in my story, I don't think that happens in a vacuum, because if one guy is dominating you, then you double team him and you attack other areas. And there was nowhere else for the Vikings to attack, because, you know, guys like Kenny Clark and Preston Smith and Dean Lowry had a nice game. They were just not allowing anything to get through. And so it was impressive.
You know, perhaps, Tom, where the loss of Cook and Alexander Mattison, maybe to a lesser degree, was more felt was in the pass game.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple garbage time catch and runs, you know, for Amir Abdullah, but that's a big part of what Cook brings to the table.
Yeah.
And, yeah. let's face it, creates matchup issues for the Packers linebackers.
Right.
So, you know, that's an outlet that wasn't there. But look, you got to play the game, and, you know, the Seahawks just signed Marshawn Lynch. They're turning back the clock 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Turbin kid, I mean, they've lost all their running backs. You know, in San Francisco, the loss of their Pro Bowl center reared its head on Sunday in L.A. So teams are hurt, right? And that's yeah. who you're playing. And no Dalvin Cook, hey, that's who the Packers had to play. And defensively, Tom, I you know, how big was it in the sense of you had Aaron Rodgers throw an interception, Aaron Jones fumble,
mm-hmm.
and Davante Adams fumble all in the first half?
Yeah, so you can't talk about the defense without talking about how they got in those positions. And those positions were created by their horrible offense in the first half. They were pretty bad other than Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. And I thought, once again, they kind of lost track of those guys. And I don't think it was until the second half that they realized again, oh, yeah, it's probably a good idea if we start running these guys, because we're having some success running the ball and we're turning it over, passing it. And I think what was really impressive was the offensive line. You talk about winning the trenches. Packers defense won it on one side, and I think the Packers offensive line did it on the other side. I think they just manned up against a really good defensive line and ran for how many yards? 184 yards, a season high. That's pretty impressive to do that in this place. I think that's really impressive.
And before we revisit the offensive line, you know, Aaron Jones and Davante Adams and Alan Lazard may have dropped the ball, but, you know, Tom Silverstein won't. And neither will you. New Year's Eve, don't drop it. Don't drop that ball. Ring in 2020 at Pottawatomie. It's Milwaukee's biggest New Year's Eve party. Tickets start at just $49. Get yours soon at mkenyeve.com. And, yeah, I mean, the offensive line, Tom, is interesting, because this goes back now a couple weeks, you know, where, right, it was the San Francisco take Aaron Jones away, New York take Aaron Jones away, Washington said they were going to do it, and they couldn't do it. I think the Bears wanted to do the same thing, able to run the ball enough.
Yes.
So this is 3 weeks in a row now where you have a veteran offensive line who, and we've said this on this podcast, basically since Kansas City, they want to run the ball. They want to do this, and this is 3 weeks in a row for sure. They've imposed their will to a degree against pretty solid or stout run fronts.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's going to help Aaron Rodgers. It did help him in the second half. He was not very good in the first half. He was throwing the ball all over. I thought he was, inaccurate. He was thrown off his back foot. He was hurrying some throws. And then all of a sudden they get the run game going the second half, and now he's hitting slants, and the linebackers are coming up and there's openings in the middle of the field and he's hitting those. They gotta stop thinking that they're a passing team. This team, if it's going anywhere, has gotta focus on being a running team. Now, one thing to consider is that Jamal Williams left the game with a shoulder injury and did not return. And I talked to him after the game, kind of downplayed it, but also wouldn't say much about it, except that it'll be day by day. If they get a bye, that'll be big, because I'm sure, that'll help. I don't know what his status will be this week, but they need both those backs. Jamal Williams got some tough yards. He averaged, I think, 6 yards a carry, 5.5 per carry.
Yeah, and Aaron Jones, while we all are in agreement he should get the ball 20 to 25 times, that still leaves room for some rest. And short week with Jamal Williams and that shoulder, the bye would really help. What was interesting was they worked in Tyler Irvin, running back by trade. Aaron Jones basically said he's kind of like me. Small, kind of quick guy, got his first touches. So, at the very least, if they feel Williams can't go or shouldn't go, Tyler Irvin has more carries now than Dexter Williams.
Yeah. Aaron Jones, I think on his 56-yard touchdown run, they had a jet sweep with Tyler Irvin.
Yes.
So, that was an interesting play. That was a good play because I think it was late in the game, and that motion really doesn't mean anything. I think it's more of a distraction, and I think they probably got some of the Minnesota defenders just looking at it because it was a quick hitter to Jones. And then the next thing if you take your eye off him for a second watching that motion or thinking about it, he's past you.
So, yeah, half step the wrong way is enough.
Yeah, and that, if Jamal Williams couldn't play, that would be interesting whether they would go with Irvin. I don't know much about him as a running back.
This was his first touch on offense since October of 2018.
Wow.
And that was a pass, that shovel, to open the game.
Yes.
He's only got 5 carries, only maybe 14 receptions. But Aaron Jones was telling me after the game that they're the same draft class or close, and he's like, "Oh, I've known him since San Jose State. He can, he can do it all." So
maybe they'll explore it. I don't know. What do they do if Jamal Williams is out? Do they go with Dexter Williams? I mean, someone's got to get some carries. They could go with Vitale.
Yeah,
they could just use him as a running back, fullback. But you don't want to overuse Aaron Jones going into the final game. I mean,
right. Even
though you got a bye week, you don't want to risk getting him hurt by running him 25 times. So we'll see. That'll be something to watch. We really won't see them again till Thursday and see if Jamal Williams is practicing.
Yeah. It was interesting roster management-wise. Jay Sternberger was down, and Jared Valtier was up as sort of the backup tackle.
Yeah.
Alex Light being down. Some small 46 decisions, if you will, but something, again, to watch, I guess, because Alex Light played a bunch of snaps for Brian Bulaga this year. So they must feel good about the recently retired, unretired Jared Valtier.
I'll tell you what, their two tackles, Bakhtiari hasn't had his best year, but over the last 2 weeks against two really good pass rushing teams, they have stood out. I mean, they shut down the Bears completely, shut down Mack and Floyd.
Yeah.
And in this game, Everson Griffin did not have a sack. Daniel Hunter.
He got one, but that was because he chased Rodgers to the sideline. And Rodgers nearly lost the ball.
Oh, he got credit for that?
He got credit because it was a loss of 1 yard.
So that wasn't a legit sack. They dominated. And well, you know, they just stopped those guys. And that's 2 weeks in a row, and that's really big going into the playoffs. Those two guys, you got two tackles, you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, we mentioned defensively, Tom, it reminded me of the first couple weeks of the season. And you're right, the tackle play reminds me of the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah.
When, again, same last two opponents, Chicago, Minnesota, really good edge rushers that, you know, the quarterback had time. Now, you know, looking ahead, I don't really know what to make of Rodgers' issues.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
You know, he was intercepted once. He almost fumbled again on the Hunter play. It's like he tried mm-hmm. to pull it back and it almost popped out. Tom, he says he saw the safety and he just made a bad throw on the interception. But look, this guy caught it. You know, Nick Kwiatkowski jumped a route on a kind of a bad throw last week. The Bears dropped a couple. I mean, they're winning by the skin of their teeth because they don't turn the ball over generally.
Mm-hmm.
They can't have him making mistakes like that. And I know it was just one. And almost won. But look, you go back to San Francisco, the sack fumble to start that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange.
The part that, and I understand it was part of their strategy. They felt like Davante Adams could own Xavier Rhodes. And then the Vikings rotate their corners. Rhodes doesn't even play the whole game. And they felt like whoever they put was on Davante Adams, he could win. And that's probably true. But, you know, that can't be – they're so much better team when they spread it around and make the defense play honest. There were some plays where I know he was locked in on Adams, and I thought he had some plays he could have hit down the field to other players. And while sometimes – a couple times the throws to Adams were for first down, so you can't complain about them. But I know there was one where Kumerow released after blocking Harrison Smith, and he was just running down the field by himself, and Rodgers hit Adams and got a first down.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd like him to see some of those other plays as well. And then the lack of accuracy bothers me. You know, you see some throws where if he puts it right where it should be, there's some big gains to be made. And so that's going to be something to watch, you know, if he can fix that stuff, or they're just going to have to live with that and Matt LaFleur is going to have to game plan accordingly.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, he arguably should have had a touchdown to Adams on a play that the ball was behind Devontae. I'm sure I didn't get a chance to speak to Devontae after the game. I'm sure he'll say, hit me in the hands, I should catch it.
Mm-hmm.
A receiver will always say that.
Yeah.
And there is an element of that. But I guess when you're that guy, when you're Aaron Rodgers and you're just so used to seeing certain ball placements specifically.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just one of those things where you're right, it's worth watching and continuing to pay attention to, especially, you know, look, they want to play in cold weather, they want to be at home, but, you know, the quarterback has to be accurate for your team, if you're the Packers, right?
I mean, your quarterback has to be pretty special, and, you know, what we're seeing with guys like Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, you know, even Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. To get somewhere, you're going to have some special play. I'm not saying Rodgers can't make special plays. He can. He obviously can. But there's going to be, you know, the odds of it happening are less than it used to be. I remember him, you know, you think to some of these games, like they had that shootout in Arizona, and I'm thinking about these passes that he made that were just unbelievable. Between guys, you know, one where he put it out to Greg Jennings, and it was Jennings one-handed it, but it was exactly where it needed to be. Those are the kind of plays that are going to determine championships. And so we'll see. I don't know what to say. You're not going to replace him. You're not going to limit his throws. It's just those are going to be part of who he is now, I think.
Yeah, interesting little nugget there, Tom. This is the third time this season he has not thrown a touchdown. Packers are 3-0 in those games.
Huh.
That's about half of his career total, having not thrown as a starter. That he's finished the game, of course, mm-hmm. not even with injury. 4-2 in games where he's only thrown one score. So oddly, you know, on his not great days, and let's, you know, I just named nine.
Yeah.
They're 8-1. And I think there's no more evidence you need to know than what we've been saying for weeks is Aaron Jones is the way this has to be.
Yeah.
And really, not that Aaron Rodgers needs to manage a game by any means, but Matt LaFleur even mentioned it Monday night, Tom. He stuck to the game plan. He's had to do it a lot this year. So I guess, 12-3 is something. And I guess we'll have to see if it carries into 2020. And speaking of, Tom, how are you going to ring in 2020?
None of your business.
Well, I think that's a lie, because we're all going to see Tom ring in 2020 at Pottawatomie. It's Milwaukee's biggest New Year's Eve party.
Okay, you busted me.
Tickets start at just $49. Get yours at mkenyeve.com.
I'll be the big roller at the craps table.
Oh, of course.
Putting down dollar bills.
So just one, we will look ahead a little bit, because this week's schedule is a little strange. You probably won't hear from us until a little later in the week.
Yeah.
And that'll be all Detroit focused. Obviously, we will look ahead. But, you know, they're, for the first time, Matt LaFleur actually admitted looking ahead and said, hey, getting a bye would be a good thing. Being at home would be a good thing. Tom, L.A. almost helped him out big on Sunday with an upset over San Francisco. What does this kind of mean for this team? All these faults we've talked about, yet they're 12-3. They keep winning. They keep doing this. What's in front of them? What can this mean going into Detroit, or maybe in the bigger picture?
I think we can now say that, you know, they're in the upper group. You know, I always felt that Seattle and San Francisco and maybe New Orleans were kind of at the top, and everybody else was sort of hovering just under that. I think it's just San Francisco at the top, and Seattle's decimated by running back injuries to the point that they have to sign Marshawn Lynch. New Orleans showed some, you know, they've shown a little bit of, rust in their armor. But on the other hand, they won a tough game at Tennessee on grass. You know, it was a game they easily could have lost going in there, because Tennessee's fighting for a playoff game. So I wouldn't totally write them off. I think they're probably right there under San Francisco. And then Green Bay, I'll give them their due for winning this game. I just still don't think they're the level of San Francisco. We'll find that out if they play again. Right now we know where they kind of stand against San Francisco. But ultimately, you know, they might wind up in the championship game against San Francisco.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that, because we have seen that game,
mm-hmm.
and we saw how that went.
Right.
And I think it's also fair to say, I don't think the Packers offense has gotten any better since then. And really, the only change would be if this defense has now found an extra gear.
Right.
Or maybe got back to those first few weeks and kind of tightened up some stuff. But again, things we won't know until they play a more complete team. I don't, you know.
Well, at the time that they played San Francisco, the tackles were struggling a little bit. You know, that was not long after the debacle in San Diego, in L.A. And then
Bulaga missed almost the entire game.
Yeah. And they just got destroyed in San Francisco, another Bosa. And, you know, so if they're playing really well, now their offensive line is playing really well, I think. And that I would like to see. I'd like to see another matchup of San Francisco's defense against Green Bay's offensive line now and see if that would be any different.
Yeah. It's interesting. They all know they weren't shy about reveling in the game to a degree, but as Mason Crosby said, it's interesting because they all kind of made fun of the youthful vigor. Jermon Williams was asked, "Yo, where's your championship T-shirt?" And he's like, "I've got a ton of these. I expect this." And Mason Crosby said, "They'll flush it."
Yep.
And it's Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, all that good stuff. But it's you enjoy it on a Monday night.
I asked Adrian Amos. I said, "So where are you going to put this one? You know, you've got another one that he made. You know, he's the only guy to win two in a row because he won one with Chicago last year." And I said, "So what are you going to do? You know?" And he said, "Well, I gave the other one to my brother, so now he's got room in his closet." But, so something about Adrian Amos too, that, you know, he goes from one team and wins NFC North and he goes to another team. The only thing they don't want him to bring with them as a first round playoff loss.
Right.
You know?
Right.
At home.
Off the uprights.
Doink. But, you know, you look at that locker room and they're not an inexperienced team anymore. They're a team that's been through a lot and they have some veteran guys who've been around and, you know, some guys who haven't won. They've been on teams and they haven't won championships, and you know, they're really hungry for it.
Yeah, no, that says something about, you know, the makeup of this team. I'm sure that's things we'll get into once we're getting, you know their playoff seeding and sort of preview a playoff, sort of how they got to that point.
The playoffs are going to be interesting because, you know, you don't know how. If someone's going to get really hot, I mean, all of a sudden, Philadelphia, I don't know how they're winning, but I wouldn't want to face them right now.
No.
You know, the Vikings, if they get Dalvin Cook back, they'll still be a very formidable team.
The game they play travels, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they would be intimidated. If winning a wild card round and then having to go to Lambeau with a full healthy offense, I don't think they'd feel bad about it.
Offensively, no. Defensively, I think they thrive on being indoors.
Yeah.
I think they're really good indoors and not as good outdoors. But I wouldn't rule out them being able to win in Green Bay. And, you know, what's the attrition rate going to be like? Who's going to get hurt, who's not going to get hurt? Teams with a bye, and the Packers couldn't be a healthier team. Shoot, if I was Matt LaFleur, I might practice during the bye week. The team is so healthy, you know. I'm sure they won't, but assuming they get that bye, they are going to be one of the healthiest teams around.
Yeah,
they are the healthiest team, probably.
Yeah, even with the, you know, Will Redmond left for the hamstring. Kenny Clark was a little slow getting off, but he came back.
He came back.
Darius Smith
said he'd be okay.
Yeah, Jamal Williams is really the one to watch.
Yeah,
you know, next week and going forward.
Yeah,
for sure. So, well, thank you for
wrap it up and say happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah,
and one more week to the regular season. Hard to believe it's flown by.
It has. It has been quite a different year in Green Bay from the podcast at this time of year. A year ago.
Yes.
Big change. Packers win the NFC North on Monday in Minnesota. Thank you for listening. We will be back with you at the end of the week. For Tom, I am Jim. Talk to you next time.